Any other guidelines you got for?
Yeah. So hold on. Everyone is unique, just not you.
And put that in quotes.
Uh huh. CC trademark Zilla.
No. It's just that at least they'll have an idea then when they hear the show that it came from me. Everyone's writing a bloody book.
Hey, Veeam Community Podcast listeners, did you hear the news? Veeam is hosting a new event allowing you to discover a new level of availability for your modern data center. The inaugural VeeamON event will be held in October of this year at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas. Everything from executive keynotes, product deep dives, labs, certification resources, as well as a customer and partner showcase will be at the event. Pre-register today to qualify for introductory pricing. For more information and to register, go to go.veeam.com/VeeamON.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 102. Everyone is unique, just not you. Here we go. Today, my guest, no joke, everyone, is Mark Toomey. How you doing, Mark?
I'm 102. My God, it's like you get paid for this, Rick.
It's kind of the other way around. I'm paying to do
it's
it.
Kind of, yeah, you do it as you're doing it to get paid even more, right? Which is fabulous. Because here I am. I'm at home in Ireland at the moment, looking out at the cows who are looking at me. And I was thinking to myself, on this lovely summer afternoon, which in Ireland it just means it's not raining, and I can see a patch of blue sky. What I need to do is spend my time speaking to that young go-getter, Rick Vanover, and here we are.
So, I actually caught you on one of the three nice days of your summer.
One of the three nice days of the summer, and that I'm actually at home, which is remarkable. I mean, because we've had lots of nice days, and usually I'm heading to the airport and flying away. I left here. I was one of the few people flying out of Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. Have you ever been an Irish guy flying out of St. Patrick's Day? It was me, the pilot, and a stewardess, and she was looking at me, going, "You're the reason we're here."
Well, I'm sure you got excellent service on that flight.
It was 50 minutes.
Oh, Zilla! I know you as Storage Zilla. Those of you listening, this gentleman is absolutely one of the best in the community. Outstanding character. Mark, tell us a little bit about what you do on the Sirius side.
Professionally, right, I do work for EMC Corporation in the Data Protection Availability Division. I work in the CTO team as a technical director. So pretty much trying to chart out the future and where we think things are going ahead and what we need to happen to actually make the future happen. So it's a very interesting job. You really have to focus on the longer term, and it's something I enjoy.
Well, you got to have a good vision for that, and I think that you're definitely that type of person. Zilla and I have been on podcasts before. Him and I, community people kind of go back. I've only met you like twice, believe it or not.
That's right. It was twice. The first time I walked in, it was a V something or other gathering. Yeah, it was V Beers. So I was told, "Hey, there's V Beers on." So I walked from my hotel down the street to the V Beers location, walked in, didn't recognize anyone, ordered food and ate something. And then tweeted I was there. And then there were a bunch of people like, "One, where is he? And why is he such a weirdo?" You know? So it was like, I didn't know anyone. I don't go to these things. But nonetheless, that's what we met the first time.
And then some world, either EMC world or VM world.
There's always a world. It's just you go to these things. When I go to shows, I'll admit I'm incredibly boring. People go there and do it as a social thing. But like, I'm here for work. I really don't give a damn about your high school drama, which is sometimes, anytime there's a community anything, it's you have a bunch of people who are probably ignored in high school, you know, making sure that they're the ones doing the ignoring this time around.
Oh, and but, it all comes out. It does.
But that's the issue. It all comes out. I've been with people and they start to talk about things and I've said to them, I really hope you stop right now. You should not be telling me this. We are not friends.
Well, they probably been drinking, and that's why it all comes out. Oh, man, man, man. I gotta get you on here more often. You're good stuff. Anyways, so, you know, Zilla, what I wanted to talk about was deduplication. And, you know, personally, I've been working with deduplication technologies of all types. And, you know, there's a whole slew of ways you can go down that route. But one of the things, and, you know, this one's a little bit specific to Veeam, is that we've been very excited. We've been promoting our data domain boost support. And, you know, I've been telling people this on webinars for years and then in person with the events as well. But no matter what I throw at the data domain, the bloody thing always says 3.2 terabytes free. So the thing is just, it's a truck. It's a horse, man. It just never stops working.
Ticks, you know, a licking, keeps on ticking.
Yeah, we want it to tick, but we also want it to just dedupe, you know. So, you know, there's one of those things that, you know, a lot of people get into dedupe situations, and they only go down that route really to save space, right? But I tell you, I love this thing. It just saves so much space on backups. What kind of things can you, you know, share about your experience with, you know, data domain deduplicating storage systems?
Well, if we talk about deduplication itself, dedupe is, as a concept, even when data domain came out, it wasn't new. I mean, it was mathematically, you know, done and things happening so on up to 25, 30 years ago. All the mathematics existed. The magic was actually doing it in real time, doing it in line, doing it at reasonable speed. And it started in 2004. It was running at reasonable speed. But the original design of the data domain architecture is that they decided they would make it CPU-centric, not spindle-centric on the back end, so getting performance out of storage devices you have attached to loops and various connections and things like that. So very much focused on the CPU. And by doing that, doing things in memory and being able to ride Moore's law, it got very, very bloody fast, very, very bloody quickly. And you could start adding new and more diverse storage services and functionality into the system in because of this extra performance that we're getting from multi-core CPUs and moving away from the whole concept of the net burst architecture, which was an Intel idea. It wasn't necessarily called that on the Xeon side, but the idea of a huge monolithic core running an awful lot of single-threaded software just shooting through the system that way and running things very, very fast. The moment things moved on to multi-core, things like data domain for inline deduplication with compression and replication, all these things that went on, they were able to exploit that. So it was being a case of having the right technology and being in the right place, right? You were being in the right place. You predicted that trend that the world was going to go to multi-core technology, and that's what happened. And when we talk about deduplication, especially you mentioned backup. Backup's a great use case for deduplication, simply because what is it? Backup is versioned replicas. Mm-hmm. If we actually consider all backups are versioned replicas, when we get right way to the bottom, we wrap them in all terminology and stuff like that, but it's a replica of something, it is versioned in some way, and that stuff leads itself, depending on the data types, of course, because we know some things deduplicate better than others. Compression is good for some stuff, does not work in others. We know about media files and things like that. They just get terrible when it comes to deduplication and compression because they're already compressed, and deduplicating them, you don't get much from that.
Well, but not always, you know.
There are things that actually do that, right?
Yeah.
There are things that actually do that, but they are the exception, not the rule. So when I'm talking to people, you could say you could do this, you could do that, you could use these particular types of transforms, and you will get savings from them. But in general, people aren't doing that.
So the media files, you know, ideally, you know, and the way I always play is usually business data center technologies, right? Mm. That's kind of where you play also. But what I've found is that some what I call capture mechanisms, and I used to work at a bank that, you know, scanned checks, right?
So you were doing OCR and stuff like that?
Yeah, but those systems were meant to be quick, not efficient.
Mm.
And so when you talk about a compressor, they were actually absent of that. And same thing with like your digital camera. Granted, that's a more consumable example to many people, is digital cameras take, they're good at taking quick pictures. They're not, they don't load some post-process, you know, compressor that optimizes the JPEGs and stuff.
Well, yeah, we all know it, like even the JPEGs, but the raw files themselves are just raw sensor data, and they tend to be significantly large. Then you turn them into TIFFs, and they're absolutely bloody huge. But those things, so there are various things there, but when you're talking anything that has been put through a compressor, you can get a bit more because you can be smarter, but the trade-off eventually becomes how many CPU cycles you're burning to get that extra, you know, space saving for something that's already being compressed.
Yeah, and you know, I tell a lot of people that that compressor discussion is honestly the most important decision point about your deduplication strategy, because you know, you and I both know compressed data generally doesn't dedupe well, but deduped data can still be compressed, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. And then you're talking as well, and the killer to all that is encrypted data. What does encryption do? Encryption removes repeated patterns, because that's how you break an encryption code. You find these two things look the same. What does that tell me? And you keep on picking away at those, and eventually you break the code.
Yeah, and so I like having compression options. You know, if you want to land on dedupe, I tell people, turn compression off. Let the hardware do it. And your point about being CPU-centric is very critical for the resources today, because I agree that, you know, having that spindle-focused approach is absolutely very 10 years ago. And having the CPU do all the work now real-time, that's an architecture with the legs for the enterprise today. And that is just my experience, and it really just works.
And even we talk now about a flash in the data center, the idea of spindles for performance is ridiculous, right? When you're talking about what you can get from guaranteed low latency from flash storage devices, what you're getting there is just the idea that, oh, I'm going to put a whole bunch of spindles back there. Well, maybe for capacity, right? On the data domain sense, it is dedicated protection storage. That's how I position it. It is protection storage. You're protecting primary data on the system. What does that mean? It means you're doing additional checks and spending those CPU resources not on doing ridiculous levels of random I/O. You're probably doing things which are much more sequential, probably dealing with larger writes and reads and things like that to put that together. So there is the difference between the whole. Yeah, you would say, well, you've spindles on the data domain system. Indeed, we do, but it's the CPU that does all the grunt work, and what's in the back is just to store the output of that.
Sure, sure. And I'd have to say that, you know, our support team deals with a lot of things, but they gave me this analogy that I use so many different times. And when we talk about storage and virtualization, and more specific in my case, and they say it's a lot like a bicycle, and that your experience very much depends on the terrain you take it.
And that's a good one, yeah.
Exactly. The data is the same way.
That'll depend whether or not at the end of the day you're suffering from the ring of fire or not, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to the train, if anyone is a cyclist, they'll realize what the ring of fire is.
Oh,
I am
boy.
Keeping this very PG, right? But so it is the same thing, that it does depend on the train, the same thing, your data, the whole data thing, and what you're putting in there is going to decide the mileage that you get from the system. And there are things before where we talked about, like, multiplexed data, right? Oh, you're sending you multiplexed data. That doesn't dedupe very well. Well, that's not true these days with data domain and Oracle, because Oracle will now, from RMAN, will deduplicate multiplexed RMAN streams.
What
right?
is multiplexed data? I don't even know.
Multiplexed data is, and this the reason why you don't know this is because you came from the disk world. Everything was right on disk, so on. You didn't have to do that. Previously, if you had a whole bunch of tape drives, sitting on the back of something, when you were doing a backup, maybe things were moving at different speeds. They were moving it. You were getting throughput of different rates from various different systems. What you wanted to do was to keep a tape drive running in what they called burst mode, where you wanted just an awful lot of data streaming to it. You didn't want it to have to stop or pause or rewind or do anything ridiculous like that. So what you did is that you multiplexed backups. You gathered a whole bunch of different ones together, interleave them as they were being written, and that kept your writes. You were able to pump a lot of writes and keep the tape drives moving and so on. Now, that was the way it was done in backup software. In Oracle, in order to ensure that you have performance of your database, you might be doing different things, you have resources inside the database itself around buffers and reads and writes and things like that. And inside the Oracle database, when you were doing particular operations, you might want to do the backup, you might want to keep it online, you would do this form of interleaving operation again, reading from different parts of the database, because you couldn't hit any one part of it for particular levels of performance. You know, you couldn't start, oh, this is starting to suffer and choke. Mm-hmm. So what you do see, and it's Oracle database administrators, because the Oracle database administrator, their world is the database. Storage, yeah, they have an app for that, right? I'm going to use that analogy. They have ASM. Backup, they have RMAN. They have flashback recovery. They have various log things. They have DataGuard. They have all these other options on top of their database. They don't really give too much of a damn, right, outside of it. It's like, I have all the software. Just give me the physical bits and stay out of my way.
Right,
but when
So
when it comes to backups, what they'd be doing is that when they were developing their backup strategy, they would turn around and say, to balance these resources adequately so I can meet the levels of performance that are required, maybe I'm going to have to do this and perform my backup in a way that actually muddles the data stream, right? Muddles the data stream by interleaving it. It interleaves it. Previously, when you were writing that to a system, you kept on sending the interleaving would be different. It could occur at different times or with different data every time you did a backup, which means your deduplication rates would begin going down because you were getting more unique, what it saw as unique information, because the combinations of interleaved data would be somewhat different. But what we've done in data domain system is that we can actually open that up and we can analyze it, as we can understand where everything is coming from, and you get a greater deduplication ratio of multiplexed information from an Oracle database than you would previously.
Well, that's an excellent point, and thank you for that excellent explanation. I thought I knew a lot about backup. Then I started talking to you.
Yeah, you went on for 15 minutes and then I went to throw myself out the window.
No, that makes perfect
sense.
It's
unusual to be in a backup podcast. It's unusual.
It feels kind of dirty, doesn't it? It's nice.
Yeah.
But no, because, you know, just to help, you know, explain for the listeners, right, Data Domain Boost is available for a lot of backup writers, right? You know, of course, EMC's products and some of their other partners have had it for a while. We're new to the game, but also some key apps like Oracle, and if I remember right, SQL Server is on there too, right?
SQL Server, and there's more coming with SAP and DB2 and various things like that. But what we're building here, and I'll let you get back to your point, is that on the Booth side, this is an ecosystem play. Right, this is an ecosystem play. Everyone's is welcome to jump on this bus. Right, we're happy to do that when it comes to Boost and things like that.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to ecosystems, there's a lot more you can do. There's more that we're pushing to do. But everyone who signs up, we're glad to have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear. Anything that can make data land on a data domain is good. So I'm all for it. I've been playing with data domains forever. Well, since 2011, we started a very early partnership, and that's when we got our unit here, and I've been using it ever since, quite amazingly, actually. Like I said, it never goes below 3.2 terabytes free. But, you know, when you think about backups and, you know, the bicycle analogy, I find a lot of times people's virtual environments aren't exactly perfect. And therefore, that makes the backup and the restore thereof a little bit left than optimal. So my practical tip for everyone listening, even if you're not, you know, a Veeam or Data Domain customer for that matter, is, you know, revisit some core practices like good templates and storage alignment, limited operating system profiles, those types of things. Sure, they help with backup and dedupe, like what Mark and I are talking about. But beyond that, that's going to help you in so many other areas. Like if you need to migrate to other storage, or if you do go to some other deduplication strategy, if things are clean coming in, they're going to do well on the outbound. And I can't tell you how many times I see crap environments today, and I'm just the messenger, right? The slow backup is a message to you telling you that your storage is a mess, that type of thing. So,
that's good. The idea of the good housekeeping and the hygiene that needs to go on in your backup environment. I mean, we all know that the only person who gets less respect than the backup administrator is usually the security guy, right? Because security guy spends a lot of time telling people no, right? So that's what I say. Can I do that? No. Right? Well, what if I use this file share? No.
No.
Yeah, it's like, no. And the backup guy is usually, you're not popular until something screws up. Then all of a sudden, everyone wants to talk to you when you don't want to speak with them. You can't get a meeting normally, but then when everything hits the wall, everyone is in, you know, they're all up at your desk and they want to know what you're doing. I was a backup administrator myself. I mastered the death glare. Right, which is the now is not the time glare, right? It's like, remove yourself from my cubicle before I do it for you.
But yeah, I've had that. It's not a good feeling, but, you know, that's another point is don't ever put yourself in a situation. This is another practical tip. Don't ever put, for the listeners, don't put yourself in a situation where you're in uncharted territory of going through a critical restore. You want to know what your expectations are, the process, the time, the speeds and feeds. Go through the drill in a test environment, especially if you're in a virtualized environment. There's no excuse why you can't practice that critical moment so you can deliver it with the ultimate cool.
Yeah, and it's if you... Having a plan is no good unless you've proven it, right? So that's what it's like, what's your disaster recovery plan? I have it right here. Have you ever tested it? No. It's like, the time to be learning is not when just after the disaster has occurred,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It's like, you're not in Sharknado. It won't all work.
Oh, that was a bad joke, but I like it.
Yeah, that was a bad joke. But the thing you were talking about, Boost, and Boost is interesting because Boost came, and of course it's much more interesting because Boost came out of my team, or the team I am in, right? Mm-hmm. My team, because, you know, I own every brick
That's
in the
right.
building and all the blood in the employees. But it came out of the CTO team, and it started, it's pretty much the data domain replication code popped out and running on your backup software or in your applications or on your client hosts. So it was the idea of distributed segment processing, where you just to eliminate that hop, you trade a couple of CPU cycles on your host to eliminate the connection hop between your host and your data domain system, right? And by doing that, you actually manage, you move. How will I put it? You back up more data by kind of moving less data.
Well, you're extending your source out of box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And because the source and replica, I understand like a little bit with the replication because I've done the testing you have to do as a partner. Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense. When you kind of have a expanded source, there would be a little bit of CPU hit. But the benefits, oh my gosh, I've done some backups now. I can't even believe that it's going to a data domain is so fast. It's like wicked scary. I love it.
Yeah, Boost and embedded into application software. It makes sense. If it's going into the backup software, it's going into the application, wherever it ends up. It's just one of those, I won't call it magic, when people get it, they love it, right? And having it, and this is why it's great about the ecosystem and being part of the ecosystem, having it is a hell of a lot better than not.
It's kind of magic.
It's a hell of a lot better than that.
It's kind of a drug. And then once you see it, you'll never be able to go.
Yeah, that's what.
It.
Well, yeah, the idea is, why would I want to go back? That's
right.
what it. That's
right.
what. But it, but you need to get that stick time in front of it to actually come to that conclusion, which is why people out there, if you have the Veeam and you have data domain, put them together and see what you can do.
Awesome, awesome, Zilla. So just a note, everyone, the data domain boost support with Veeam is coming on our version 8, due out early Q4 of this year. I've done some webinars, got a white paper, got a post on the Veeam blog, got this podcast. I'm going to be doing 4 more posts on the Veeam blog into September about this feature. It's big time news for our partners and end users. But let's go ahead and wrap it up. And so Zilla, anything you have going on, a book you're writing, tell us about your blog, or what's going on?
I'm not writing a book. You know, it's like books are for people who have plenty of time and children. Well, even though you might have children, you probably don't have plenty of time. But when I see a whole bunch of people, I've written a book. It's like, whoa, there's another one to throw in the fire.
What else? No book.
No, yeah, so there's no book. If anyone wants me, they'll find me on Twitter. I'll be there either paying too much attention to people who don't want me to pay attention to them or not paying attention to people who want me to pay attention to them. So it's just like life, really. but you'll find me on Twitter at StorageZilla. Besides that, it's work and life and doing things. Because the idea here is to not, it's important that people think it's important to have a career. Well, don't have a career, have a life which has a rewarding career.
Yeah, and then have a life where somebody like me takes you away from your one nice day or 3 nice days a year to talk backups.
Well, you know, I literally just looked up from whatever I was writing, answered this call, and went into it. It isn't like you've taken me out of any zone. I'm always in there. I'm stuck in here. I'm stuck in the data protection zone. It's like something out of those Superman comics where they end up in the Phantom Zone. I'm in the data protection zone, never to leave. But you know what? Happy to be here.
It's kind of a hero role.
What we do matters, right? Don't ever forget that. If you're a backup administrator, you're working data protection, something like that, what you do matters. You matter. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise, because I've just told you that you do. And that's the only praise that you're getting from me, unless you win the Nobel Prize or something like that. So,
Zilla says, what we do matters. Awesome.
Yep.
All right, Zilla, we're going to wrap it up. You can find Zilla on Twitter at StorageZilla, and he's got a blog at StorageZilla.typepad.com. Mark, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No problem, Rick. I do not update that blog. I'm too lazy to buy a proper URL.